Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to be discussing, for those of you that are regular listeners already know, dogs. I am just a lover of animals anyway, but we have a little Scottish Terrier, and he is just family, 100%, and I know for so many of you listening, you feel the same way about those special fur persons that are in your life. Well, today we've got a lady who has just as strong a passion for dogs, and she has such a passion for them that she really, really believes in making sure that if you have a puppy, you have an older dog, you're wanting to be able to train them so that they will walk with you comfortably. Well, she went around and worked things out so that she could design what she calls walk in sync. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Plus, also, we'll be going to be discussing some behavioral problems that you can deal with because this is her passion. Am I right, Alicia?
You are totally right, Donna.
Well, it's an absolute
I love all animals. dogs have just been around me my whole life, and I wanted to find a way to make their lives better because they've always made mine better.
Well, I think any of us who are avid animal lovers, dog lovers, and have had them through the years feel very much the same way that you do. Now, Alicia, give us a little bit of background on you. Did you decide when you were 3 years old that you were going to be a veterinarian and raise
Well, it was actually six.
What?
And
oh, you
my mom
six,
asked
three.
Me one day, she said, so what do you want to be when you grow up? And without hesitation, I said, I want to be a veterinarian so I can help sick animals. And then junior high school came and science and math started to come in. And then high school came and more science and math started to come in. And I realized being a vet also meant, you know, having to cut an animal open to help them. And between science and math and blood, I just realized, okay, maybe I won't do that. However, I've always loved animals. So in my early 20s, I was lucky enough to start seeing an acupuncturist from China. A girlfriend gave me a gift certificate one Christmas as a Christmas present. And then I started studying Qigong. And through that path, it led me to learning to work with the animals in a different way. And I landed up going on a retreat and learned animal communication.
Oh,
and
for heaven's sake.
When I realized that I could do this, it was sort of like all the bells and whistles went off, like when you find your life's passion.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, my God. This is how I'm supposed to help the animals. I'm supposed to be a voice for them and help them heal and help their people understand what they need and how to best take care of them. And so during my Qigong path, I learned about nutrition and I learned about herbs and supplements. And I actually started experimenting with different nutritional supplements and had my dogs adjusted and had them have acupuncture sessions. And I was really, really impressed. And so for about 10 years, I worked as an animal wellness consultant. I had started my own practice doing animal communication, finding out what was wrong with the animals that the medical system wasn't able to help, and then figuring out ways to help them through energetic body work and massage and nutrition. And when I moved to Colorado in 2001, a client had asked me if I could help him train his dog. And I said, you know, let's give it a try and see what happens. So I did a lot of the telepathic work in helping train the dog, and it went so well that I said, I think this is my next piece, is becoming a dog trainer. And over the years, I've just seen different tools that I like but weren't exactly to my specifications of how well it really, really works for the dog. And about 2 years ago, I was meditating and had a vision for a harness, and I was so excited, except it wasn't on the market.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to create it. And we started manufacturing it about 6 or 7 months ago, and it's going so well. I have tears in my eyes half the days because people call me and they're so happy with how it's working. And I'm so happy that we don't have to choke any more dogs to train them.
Well, I'll tell you what. When I met you in New York and you were talking about this, my little Scotty Victor is just a wonderful, wonderful little fur person. We love him dearly. And I said to myself, I agree with the thought about the choke effect on the neck of an animal. Now, Scotties have extremely thick necks. They were trained to be ratters, so they've got this strong, bulky body. And to the best of my knowledge, it has never caused any harm to the animal because of the way they're built structurally. But I think of so many animals that it really can cause a problem with, and especially with puppies. So when you said, Donna, I'll send you mine, and you can try it on Victor. And I said, oh, yeah. Okay, we'll just see what happens here. But I had tried a harness. I really wanted to get away from using just the standard choke collar, which is what we have typically in the past trained with. So I tried a harness, but I couldn't get the silly thing to fit, believe it or not. We had two Scotties at the time, and it was amazing. I was out walking, and it came off, and I thought, oh, this is not what I need. So it went back to the store. But yours was really interesting to me, and what I have found is that in using it, and before we went on air, you asked me, gee, if you had a chance to try it, and I said, yes, we've been using it every day. And I noticed when I got it, took me a while how to figure out how to put it on, about, 3 minutes, and put it over his head, and he just sits and he's ready for it. He just absolutely knows that when that harness comes out, number one, he's going to be going out for his walk, which he dearly loves. But two, he really is enjoying wearing it. And for those of you that are on the computer, if you want, go ahead and tap into her website, walkinsync.com, while you're listening to me. And you can pull up and see this harness that goes around the neck of the dog, but also it goes underneath the tummy, and then over the torso. And you can look at it right on the site, Walk in Sync, or Dog Walk in Sync, excuse me, I need to correct myself, dogwalkinsync.com. Now, Alicia, one of the things that when I was using this, I really liked how easily it went on the dog, number one, and how quickly my little Scotty just said, okay, this is comfortable. But I was having a thought about when I'm using it, because there's a hook around that's right in front of the middle. It's right in the middle of the chest, which is terrific. And then you've got a space that if you wanted to use your lead, once your dog is accustomed to it, in on the top of the torso, that's a very good place to go. And you can use that. But actually, Victor likes it, the lead from the chest area. How do you know that you have this so that it's fitting properly? Because sometimes he gets busy and he wants to go off on his own little journey, and I say, no, you've got to come with me. And then the harness slides. How do we, what do I need to know about the harness when I'm working with it?
Okay, when you put the harness on and over his head, the chest portion that goes over his head and it sits at the front of his chest where the clip would be, you want that to be pretty snug. So it really should fit almost like it's part of his body. So not tight, but just pretty snug. Like maybe you can get one finger or like half of one finger between his chest and the harness.
All right. That's good to know. So I need to tighten it up.
And then so what might happen, just depending on the size of the dog's head, like certain dog, like Scotty's pretty much their head is, their body is generally wider than their head.
Yes.
But there's a lot of dogs, like you have a pit bull, you know. Pit bulls' heads are very, very large compared to their neck. So you might need to adjust it a little bit, you know, in order to slip it over his head. And then you just adjust it down. I tried to make the adjustments as easy as possible. So you just sort of slide the clip right down and into place of where it best fits the dog. And then the back of the harness, that goes up and over the shoulder blades, it's not crucial that that part of the harness be tight. I mean, you should be able to get about, you know, 2 fingers width underneath the back of the harness. But the front of the harness is really the key to it fitting right and it not sliding.
I have known, and you've got some wonderful videos on your website.
Thank you.
So for those of you listening, she's got 7 or 8 videos showing dog training, and we're going to be talking about this because so many people, when they get puppies, they don't realize how important it is to do the training. And dependent on the animal's temperament, there's really sometimes a lot of frustration. But I know the sooner you can get the dog into training and get them adjusted to it, the easier it is. But I know
Absolutely.
A lot of people that have older dogs. Now, let's address first the puppies, if we have little ones.
Mm-hmm.
These come in different sizes. So
yes.
If you had a puppy, when would you recommend starting to use the harness? Because it does keep the strain off the neck,
mm-hmm.
which I think is extremely important. It pulls, it gives a whole different dimension to working with the animal, and it's more conducive to, especially a puppy, with
mm-hmm.
not causing, you know, problems with their joints and or their necks and their,
exactly.
their shoulders.
Well,
so
the sizing
what would you recommend?
Our extra small can fit starting at a 4-pound dog. So,
oh, my
you know,
goodness.
Most puppies are going to be somewhere between, like, 4 and 8 pounds by the time you get them home.
Right.
So I always recommend a couple things. One, I always recommend a harness because the truth is that if anything causes any kind of strain on our dog's neck, just like a person, you know, if a lot of us go to the chiropractor, we go because we want to stay in balance. So if we feel a little bit out of balance, you know, we'll know our bodies enough to say, okay, I'm going to go and see a chiropractor. The problem is, like with our puppies, and especially when a puppy's not used to having anything on its neck, and that's basically around the time, you know, when it first comes home to its human family, it's going to run back and forth. It's going to try to pull its collar off. It's going to probably do things that could easily, potentially misalign its neck, except we probably won't notice.
Mm-hmm.
We might not notice till 4 or 5 years later when that dog is now starting to walk a little funny, except the veterinarian's not going to necessarily connect it to the collar when the puppy was a baby and it threw its neck out of alignment. So when I, you know, when I was training, I just kept watching, and so many of the aggressive cases that came to me, because I do a lot of work with, you know, dogs that have become aggressive,
mm-hmm.
I would always check their back and their spine. And 98% of my aggression cases were in pain between
oh my
goodness. The neck and the top of the shoulder blades. And as soon as I got them adjusted, about 85% of their aggressive behavior disappeared. So I thought, wait a second here, you know, if we're not realizing that our animals are in pain, then what can we do to make everything as humane as possible in training them? So the design really, you know, sort of stemmed out of other harnesses that are front clip harnesses. And when you know, if you just even think about physics dictates that the further out on a fulcrum something goes, the more energy you actually have to use to bring it back. So all these dogs that you see that are at the end of the lead, you have to use all that energy to bring the dog back, because now the dog's vested, you know, in its front legs and its back legs, and it can leverage its body weight against you to pull.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, when I found the front clip harnesses, I thought that was genius. So I was like, wow, if you get in front of the dog's energy, then all of a sudden, now the dog's got a different place of stimulus that it's responding from. It's not used to, you know, I'm going to pull and you're just going to come with me. So that's the habit. So I'll keep pulling because I know you'll come with me. But when you put the leash clip at the chest and the dog feels a solid boundary, then all of a sudden the dog goes, wait a second, something's different here. And it can make a different choice. So one of the things that I loved was the front clips, except most of the front harnesses go across the chest. And I thought, wait a second, I've seen too many people put these on wrong. So now I'm seeing shoulder constriction issues, and especially with a puppy. You don't want anything inhibiting that dog's shoulder stride, because then you can set yourself up for future musculoskeletal issues. So when we designed the harness, the vision that I got was it literally looked like a horse harness. And I thought, okay, we've got that design with the front clip, so we're in good shape there. And then I was speaking to a girlfriend one day, and I was like, God, I think I'm going to put knots in the leashes, you know, so people know exactly where to put their hands. Mm-hmm. And then the third component that I realized about the system was that the biggest reason why dogs pull is because they're allowed to, and they're consistently allowed to. Either their people don't want to choke them, or, you know, they just aren't paying attention to how much of a distance they're giving the dog to go before they really stop and make the dog pay attention that it has to back up. Mm-hmm. So when we added in the leash component, I was probably doing backflips in my apartment because I got so excited, because nobody's set this up yet this way. And what we started seeing as we were designing our prototypes was how phenomenally well it was working. So it really is the combination of not just a biomechanically correct harness that will never hurt the dog, it won't hurt their throat, it can't choke them, you know, it gives the pressure at the front, but when you combine the leash so that the person knows exactly how much room the dog has, and the dog knows exactly how much room the dog has, because as soon as it hits the end of the leash where the person is holding on to the first handle and the person just stops and waits, the dog starts to look around going, hey, something's totally different here. And then they start actually tuning into the person, and then they back off of their energy. So it was really a combination of you know, making sure what's safest for the dog and what's easiest for the human.
What I found that little Victor was doing, and mm-hmm. I know many of my listeners have dogs of different breeds, but what I found is that he really enjoyed having the clip in the front.
Yep.
Instead of having something at his throat. He really has liked that. And
yep.
With the leash that you've got that's attached
mm-hmm.
to that front loop, you have those two pieces of material that
mm-hmm.
are so easy to manage by hand. And I loop it around. You've got a loop on the end so it can go around the wrist. But
mm-hmm.
you have those two points
mm-hmm.
that, dependent on the size of your dog, you can move along pretty well. And I'm finding, you know, right on the, yeah, it's really good. It's really wonderful. And I'm very much at ease with it. And so is my little Victor. He really has responded to it very well. Now, one of the things that I want to address, and you brought it up, is aggressive dogs. And there's a woman that I pass periodically in the mornings, depending on what time I end up going out with Victor.
Hello?
She has had... Are you still with me? Hello? Alicia? Alicia? Something has happened to your connection. I don't know. I'm hearing some kind of a gurgling sound. So I think my engineer is trying to get her back on the line. Something happened to the phone line. That happens every once in a while with the digital. But for those of you listening that are dealing with aggressive dogs, and sometimes we like to adopt older dogs, and as soon as we have Alicia back on the line, then I'm going to be addressing this. Many of the times when you have aggressive dogs, especially, again, if you get an older one, dependent on the environments that they've come through, you will find that the first thing that has to be established is trust. And that is something that, believe it or not, it doesn't really take all that long with dogs. Dogs are just amazing at how quickly they will adapt. But you do need to be able to focus and to communicate with them. And this particular harness that, or, you know, it's a walking and training system that Alicia Evans has developed, It really is quite amazing at how it can help you work with that aggressive dog. Hello, Alicia, we're back.
I don't know what just happened.
Well, you know what? You were gurgling all of a sudden. It sounded like
really?
You were underwater. And sometimes the digital systems go wacky. Don't ask me why, but they do. So anyway, glad you're back. I'm so glad you're back because I want you to address something. I was talking to my audience about this, and that's aggressive dogs.
Yep.
And I started to say before we lost you that there's a lady that I come in contact with, and I get such a kick out of her because she's so petite. And she's got these two huge dogs that she's walking. And one she's had for 8 years, and the other one she adopted. And this other big dog, she's got a piece around her waist, and she's got the dogs attached to this waist truss. Mm-hmm. That's what I'll call it. And if she needs to, she can pull in on them readily because she's small. She's using her body weight to keep them alive. So she goes out for regular walks. And like I said, we'll see each other every once in a while. Well, she had gotten, she's adopted this dog, and apparently he is so aggressive, and he was really acting up with her on this one day. And so I stopped Victor because whatever environment this dog had been in, it was like, we're going to attack. This is what I'm going to do. And I understand the territorial stuff. So she was chatting with me, and she said, he's really got problems, but I'm trying to work with him. So she's taken him into training and class, and he's calmed down quite a bit. But she will distract him. But I'm looking at this woman. She has this, and they're on their standard collars. You know, she's got, because they're big dogs, she's got these real big collars on them. And I thought, maybe you'd have some tips for any of my listeners that might be having a problem with aggressive dogs. What's the first thing if someone adopts a dog and they have this tremendously energetic, maybe antagonistic disposition that'll come out, and all of a sudden you just go, what do I do? How do we handle that?
Okay, the way that I would normally handle it with my clients, because I have seen so many positive things in checking their spines, the first thing I do is I kind of do a spinal evaluation. I sort of go down like all their back points and their meridian points and see if there are any places that seem twitchy or, you know, they kind of cringe when you touch there. Because a lot of the times what happens with aggressive dogs, it's just like with humans. If our spine is aligned and we're relaxed and the energy's flowing, we're comfortable. It's easy for us, you know, to move along and be peaceful. But if you put a kink in our system, little by little, we start getting a little grouchier, a little meaner, and we don't necessarily realize it's happening because we're not realizing where it's coming from. So a lot of the times, and especially like if she adopted this dog and it's a rescue dog, we really don't know the background of the dog. So let's just say, just for instance, it was a German Shepherd kind of a dog. A lot of people tend to be very heavy-handed and aggressive with Shepherds in an attempt to sort of control their, you know, tendency for aggression and being protective dogs. So they tend to kind of do things that will throw the animal's body out of alignment. And dogs like that, like it might have been on a pinch collar, and the pinch collar might actually be making the dog more aggressive. So I, the first place I always start anytime I ever get an aggressive dog, I check the body first. I need to make sure that this aggression is not coming because the dog is in pain. And I always do that before I ever train a dog because I've just come to see it and come to realize it is so not fair for me to try and change this animal's behavior or ask it to change its behavior if it's in pain. So that's the number one thing. Aggression generally signals some type of pain or mistreatment in the dog.
I would agree.
So that's where I go. And just getting back to what you were asking before about puppies, about, you know, what's the first thing that people can do? When I was growing up, I was told, you know, puppies don't get their final shots till they're about 14 to 16 weeks old, and then you start training the dog. So here you have a puppy that you usually get at 7 or 8 weeks, And now you've got, I don't know, 7 to 9 weeks at home with that puppy not really being trained. And if you really think about it, if that puppy was with its mother and in its pack, the mom would be training 24/7.
That's the truth.
Yes. So that's where so many, I almost feel like we have to have, you know how kids have like preschool before mm-hmm. they go to kindergarten?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we really need to start doing like pre-K for puppies. Because
I agree.
It's not just about the socialization, it's actually helping the human parents understand how would this puppy be worked with in its normal, you know, dog pack to keep it in balance and to keep it aligned and to keep its behavioral issues under wraps. Because think about it, you know, we get a puppy, oh my God, I love it so much, and we spoil it so much, and, you know, when it's little and it's cute, that's, you know, chewing on your toes is fun. But as soon as that puppy starts to get bigger with a harder bite, now it's not fun.
Yes,
it's not
same
really
with computer wires.
Fault.
Yes, same with computer wires and other things. You have to puppy-proof a house.
Exactly.
You have to puppy-proof a house.
Yep.
And I'll never forget.
You know, we have to learn certain things, like the way a mother dog would do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If she says no, she's not saying no because she, you know, she's randomly deciding to say no. She's saying no because she says, look, I'm telling you no, and it's no because that could save your life someday.
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. when she tells her puppies no, she is very clear, and she really doesn't care if they like her or not.
Mm-hmm.
She just knows she has to keep them alive.
Absolutely.
So we as humans
true.
Have a little bit different of an approach, and we have a lot of variances. You know, and in those variances, dogs are very smart. They know exactly what they can get away with. And just
that
like children,
true.
They will test boundaries and test boundaries and test boundaries. And one of the phenomenal things that I hope that I've created with this system is that by giving the exact amount of room on the leash between the human and the dog
mm-hmm.
before the human stops when the dog gets to the end of the leash, is consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Because they really, really get consistency. I mean, I can take one of the most challenging pullers on the planet, and within minutes, just from them knowing from the get-go, as soon as you pull, I'm going to stop, and it's comfortable to them. They just have to be accountable for pulling.
Mm-hmm.
I can change them. And it's wonderful because once the people realize that they're not going to get pulled down by their dog,
mm-hmm.
and that the dog's actually responding, the human's physiology completely changes as well, and they go, oh, my God, I'm going to be a leader to my dog just
mm-hmm.
because of the simple tools.
Well,
so I'm very,
is...
very, very excited about that because,
yes.
you know, usually we're training the dog, and we don't, you know, there's other trainers on TV that will definitely advocate we have to train the people too. But this system, what it does is it trains the person in minutes to
mm-hmm.
be consistent with a clear boundary, to say what they mean and mean what they say, and that really is what a mama dog does.
That is so true. And I know in the years that we've had dogs, that's the one thing that, just like with kids, you have to follow through and you have to be consistent.
Absolutely.
And they really depend on that. That's very important. And I know
that's
that
why Victor gets so happy. Because see, what happens sometimes is we love our dogs so much, we'll let them get ahead of us. Except most dogs are not the alpha dog. So now we're allowing a dog that is not truly the alpha. And an alpha is, you know, it's an interesting misnomer because most people think they're big, they're vicious, they're, you know, they can beat anybody up. True alphas are actually really calm, really quiet, really, really together dogs that will not act unless they have to.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a lot of us in the United States, we're allowing our dogs that are not a true alpha and don't have the confidence and really actually need to be followers, we're allowing them to be the leaders because that's the way we love them. You know, that's the way we show them love.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is they start to get some behavioral issues. And the cool thing that I have really seen with this, which is so fascinating, these dogs are so much happier when they know what their boundary is, mm-hmm. because they don't have to be out front trying to protect when that wasn't really their job, and that's really not their place in the pack.
Well, I just think that any time we can utilize something that empowers the relationship between ourselves and our animal, and of mm-hmm. course, in today's world, I know the ideal situation, the romantic idea, is to be able to allow our dogs to run free so they can do what mm-hmm. they want. Well, in our part of the country, if you've got a small dog, you better not do that because there's eagles out there that may pick them up for lunch. And no joke, it's serious. And yeah. you have coyotes. We have coyotes. Yeah. I'm out in the country. And so you have to be aware. And there's a responsibility when
yes.
you bring a creature into your home, and they depend on you 100%. I mean, if I don't feed Victor's not going to eat. Mm-hmm. He depends on me for his water, his food, and the gift he gives is total loyalty and marvelous watchdog, and he just is an absolutely incredible, I like to use the term my friend used so many years ago, fur person. And we just love him dearly, and they just bring so much into our life. But to know how to have something like your dog walking and training system, and you give so many wonderful lessons on your website. Now, I do want to mention this so that those of you listening, write it down, put it in your favorite section. It's dogwalkinginsync.com, dogwalkinsync. And it's just an incredible thing. She's got training on there that you can watch other people, what they've done. The tips that she gave about using the harness were around the neck. It needs to be very snug. And then around the torso part of the body, where you can see how it's all set up, that can be, comfortable. That doesn't have to be real, real snug. But these are things that Alicia is so informative about, and she has this real love of animals, and I can tell you, because I am using it, that this is absolutely a wonderful, wonderful way to work with your dog so that you can be comfortable when you're out walking. It allows you to, if you encounter another animal that might be presenting aggressive behavior, you're able to keep your dog in position much more comfortably, and you're not yanking on its neck. You're using its body weight to keep it in positioning, and you're taking that assertive stance that they have to listen to you. So it's really, really good, and I just think, Alicia, you have accomplished something very special here.
Thank you so much. Donna, I love what you said, too, about responsibility, taking responsibility for animals, because I do a lot of work with shelter animals. And one of the things that, they're always talking about at the shelter is humane treatment of dogs and cats. And so, I have to take that humane treatment and really, really bring it to first and foremost to the training.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we want to create dogs, that was my puppy barking in agreement.
Love the special effects.
Yeah, I mean, if we really want these dogs to be happy and healthy, then the first place we have to start is humane training. Because, years ago when I learned to train and I was training a chocolate lab who really wouldn't listen. I mean, they put me through everything with this dog. We did choke chains. We did prong collars. We did a nose halty, and we even went up to the shock collar, and I hated that I even had to think about using that with this dog, but I didn't know what else to do, and that's what I was taught by trainers to use. And, God forbid, back then the trainers were like, don't ever give your dog a treat to train it, you'll spoil it, and blah, blah, blah. So, having seen the repercussions of that, because when I did use the nose halter for my dog in particular, he actually threw a couple of vertebrae out in his neck and didn't walk right, and I had to bring him to a chiropractor.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we were using the prong collar, I actually had to break up a fight between he and another dog and almost broke my knuckle off because it got stuck in the collar. Mm-hmm. And when I started using this, I just thought, oh my God, the biggest thing that I watch people get, usually, you know, we're applying human everything to the rest of the planet. Like if we do scientific studies on animals or try to study animals, it's in a human way. Mm-hmm. We never really get to the place where we're communicating with animals from their silent language, which I personally have found so incredibly valuable, because it's just, it's so honest, it's so authentic, it's so simple and so clear. And what I've been finding with using this system is that the people actually get really quiet. They don't have to check in with their dogs, because every time you're checking in with your dog, you're asking it, okay, where do you want to go? So if you have a dog that's not leader and you're asking it to be leader, it kind of goes back and forth, and the relationship starts to get a little wonky, because it's like, well, who's in charge? So when people know, you know, the exact boundary, where to hold the handle, what the most beautiful part of what I've been watching is dogs and people starting to communicate almost in the dog's silent language. So the dogs are actually starting to give the people more respect, because the people are actually starting to become these beautiful leaders that are humane and respectful of the dog. And all they're doing, it's like if you tied your dog to a tree, Victor would know very quickly, he'd test out every boundary in about 15 seconds, and he'd say, okay, I'm tied to a tree. And he'd stop pulling, because he knows that the tree isn't going to go anywhere. And so the system kind of creates that sort of energy in people. And it's so beautiful to watch, because when we do these 5-minute makeovers that are on my site, you see what the people are going through and how the dogs are pulling them around and dictating the walk. And then what starts to happen is, as the people start to just, you know, be like that tree and create a really clear boundary, the dogs relax, and you can literally, palpably, physically, you can feel the difference in the relationship.
Alika?
You can feel the confidence in the person, and you can feel the relaxation and the happiness in the dog. And that's the thing that, you know, every time we do these, I get such a kick out of it, because I always go, oh, I don't know, we'll try it on this one. I hope it works.
Alika? I yep. know that we are just about out of time, hon. I want to give out
Great.
Your website again.
Okay.
So that dogs, the dog walking in sync, and that's dogwalkinsync.com. Alika, this has been absolutely a joy. I know those in my audience that are lovers of dogs would, this is just terrific. You need to go to her website, find out about this, watch her videos, because they're just terrific. Alika, thanks so much. And just know
Donna,
that Victor
thank you for
is
having
thrilled.
Me. It's such a pleasure, and I'm so excited that you and Victor are doing great and you're enjoying it.
Oh, without question. It's been a delight having you. This is Donna Sebo. Remember,
you.
Go to Dog Walk in Sync, and you will find some really good information. And believe me, it works, because I'm using it every day with Victor. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a minute. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, if you're a first-time listener to the show, just know all I need from you is your first name or your initial. After that, I will light up your life with intuitive insight, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that crosses your mind. So that's 888-815-9756. Well, I want to mention quickly to those of you who are in Western Washington, we have an event coming up in August, the first three weekends in August. It's the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair. Now, this is my 11th, 12th year that I've been involved with this wonderful, wonderful event. The people are just terrific, and I did have 20 free family passes to give away to this. I now only have 8 left. So please, if you want to get a free pass to this magnificent event in Buckley, Washington, and this is the first three weekends in August, it is so special. It is like you step into a fairyland of experience. It is marvelous. So more information will be coming out about it starting the last week in July, and I'll have more information on the show. But if you'd like to get a pass, or you know of a family that would like to have a pass, please call me at my office, 253-582-5604, because I need your contact information so that I can mail the pass to you. Or what you can do is email me, donna@delphiinternational.com. Be sure to put in the subject line, pass for Ren Fair or something the equivalent so I can identify it. I get so many emails every day that it's very important you have something in the subject line that I can identify quickly. And then put your address and your phone number in there in case I need to clarify something with you. And then that way we'll get that pass off to you in the mail. They are going so quickly. This is just an awesome event. So I really want to be sure that you have that as soon as possible. Okay, I wanted to share with you a wonderful, wonderful poem, Norma Ronald. And these are little short poems that I find. I really enjoy them. And, of course, I was gifted yesterday this beautiful, beautiful summer arrangement of vibrant petunias in these delicate white flowers and geraniums. I mean, this is just wonderful this time of the year, all these beautiful flowers that are blooming. And Norma wrote this poem. She said, "Morning glories, mauve petals pressed against a trellis of white, gerberas and roses in a point box of colors. Life holds so many treasures, and summer, you're one of them." And that's the truth. It's just such a joy. I love to see what people do with their gardens. And here in the Pacific Northwest, people are just absolutely devoted to their gardens. And there's so many different plants. And this year, I have been amazed at the amount of monarch butterflies. There was one that was in our forest that's around our home that just amazed me with its size. It was half the size of my palm. Beautiful, beautiful monarch. We've just seen so many of them this year. We haven't seen that many monarchs in a long, long time. So they're floating through our neighborhood, and we are delighted to have them. Give me a call if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Are you aware that a national holiday has been declared for ice cream? Well, I've got information on it. I'm also going to have a good recipe for you, too. Nothing like ice cream during the summer. I believe we have... Do we have a caller? Nope, something else I'm hearing. That's not a caller. But anyway, if you want to talk to me, 888-815-9756. The third Sunday in July is now officially National Ice Cream Day. So you can have a Sunday on Sunday. I know, pun intended. So support your local ice cream parlor, whichever one is your favorite, and you're going to find they're all going to have contests. They're going to have free treats. There's new flavors. Ooh, it's just so much fun. It's just, I think that's a great holiday. Anytime you can celebrate ice cream, I think it's absolutely wonderful. There was a gentleman that I had on my show that had a wonderful, wonderful book on the history of ice cream sundaes, and it was so much fun. Michael Turbeck, he is a man that loves history, loves ice cream, and found that the two made for a fabulous combination. But there was a sundae that was called the Ice Capade Sundae. And Ice Capades was a ice show, and it's still around in its own form, but in its heyday, it was really, really the thing to go see. Lots of productions based on Disney's movies like Cinderella. They had all kinds of wonderful things going on. So I've got a recipe for the Ice Capade Sundae. So that and, I've also got an Oreo brownie recipe. Oh, I know we've got a caller. If you're salivating, just hang tough. Get yourself a piece of paper and a pen, and I'll come back and give you that good stuff so you'll have it to share with those that you love. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. This is Susan from Wasilla, Alaska.
Hi, Susan. I understand the sun is shining up in Wasilla, and it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous place right now.
Sorry, it's not. It's raining.
Oh, come on.
Juneau is nice and sunny, but Wasilla it isn't today.
Oh, Wasilla, it's raining. Oh, my goodness. Well, then the person that was calling me was in a place where the sun was shining, and they were out on their deck, and they were just enjoying everything. They were not, I don't think, in Wasilla, though, but they were just loving it. They said it's absolutely gorgeous.
Well, they're probably in Anchorage. Anyway, I just want to know, do you have any feelings regarding my finances for the next few months? Am I on the right path?
All right, Susan, we've got to take a break quickly. Are you willing to wait with me?
All right.
And I'll come back and I'll answer
sure.
your question.
Sure.
All right. We're going to be talking to Susan in Wasilla, Alaska. We're going to take a break for just a moment. And don't forget, you can call in if you like, 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny. They will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. We're talking with Susan in Wasilla. Susan, before we took a quick break, you were asking the question about your financial picture. Your financial picture, believe it or not, is actually going to be fairly stable. You're going to have some ripples in it, So the key is to be more conservative than you would otherwise, and just consistently put aside a particular portion of money for what I'd call your cash stash, because that's going to come in handy around tax time and also around the end of the year, the first part of January. You want some kind of a cash stash available for yourself. So as I'm watching you, the financial aspect is very important, and I'm not putting it aside, but I think also you need to be able to back away a little bit and make a periodic check. And when I say a check, I'm referring to what it is you want to keep your focus on. What is both a bigger objective as well as the tiny steps it will take to get you there. You need to be able to see both aspects and be able to make sure that you are staying in a consistent patterning with what you're wanting to achieve. In other words, let's say you were on a diet and you knew that you had to have 1,500 calories a day. And if you once in a while had 2,000, you'd have to evaluate, say, okay, I need to bring it back so that it's the 1,500 level. It's just that consistent check. That's a ridiculous example, I know. But do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes, absolutely.
Good. Good. Because that's going to enable you not only to achieve your objective, but also to be able to make the corrections you need to make, whether it's taking classes, whether it is doing something like maybe refinancing a piece of property, whatever it may be that is necessary to make those adjustments in the process of getting to the objective. That is what's going to keep you true. That's what's going to keep you stable.
All right, wonderful.
Well, enjoy your rain in Wasilla. Excuse me?
Now that I want ice cream.
Okay. Oh, you've got to listen to this. This is so cool. I really like this. I love ice cream, but I'm not as much of a fan of it as my husband is. He really likes ice cream. So, I mean, this is
all
something.
Right, well, thank you,
yes.
Donna.
You're welcome,
show.
Honey.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756. Now, quickly, before I give you the ice cream recipe, I want to mention two events that I am going to be presenting my skills, and I'm also going to be speaking and doing some training at. Now, on the 26th of July, for those of you in Western Washington, I'm going to be at the Progressive Spiritual Center, and this is at 6108 Mount Tacoma Drive, Southwest, in Lakewood. It's going to start at 6:30 in the evening. This is a Tuesday evening. It'll go for a couple of hours. There's a small charge of $10, and I'm talking about what I call mental ecology. So we're going to have interactive, it's casual, it's laid back, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. I'll also have some of my books and other things there as well. Then a big event, which is going to be on the 30th of July, it's being put on by the Ascension Foundation, and it's Saturday, July the 30th. Now, it starts at 10 in the morning, and from 10 in the morning until 4:30 in the afternoon. This is free to the public. It is at the Best Western Plus at the River's Edge in their meeting room there, and that is in Seattle, and we're going to have all kinds of vendors there. And so at that part, that admission is free. You can go in. I will have a booth there. I will be doing many consultations. I'll have various things on display there, but you'll be able to interact with me one-on-one. Now, the second part of that day, which is going to be from 6 until 10 in the evening, this is a meeting where there's going to be all kinds of demonstrations by various talented people. I am going to be one of the VIP speakers. And so we are going to be showing you the various aspects of the skills of mind and mediumship. And there is a fee for this. It's $35 for those 4 hours. And you can find out more information by going to the Ascension Foundation theascensionfoundation.com. That is their website. Or you can give them a call at 206-356-6356. That is 206-356-6356 if you want more information. That's July the 30th. Okay, and what I want to do is give you this ice cream sundae recipe. Okay, it's a recipe, but you know how ice cream is. Just about anything goes, depending on your flavor. Now, this is what you do. This is called the Icecapade Hojo Triumph. You dip 3 small scoops of fruit sherbet. You choose whatever flavors you like, and you put it in a wide sundae dish, and you want it to form a triangle. Then you add 1 small scoop of vanilla ice cream, put it on the top, and then you ladle 2 ounces of sliced strawberries and 2 ounces of crushed pineapple over the ice cream. And then you decorate it with whipped cream and place a maraschino cherry on top. Now, that to me is very similar to like a banana split, but you make it with sherbet and the vanilla ice cream. It's a wonderful combination. And choose whatever you like. And if you're one of those that like the Italian gelato, you could do the same thing with the gelato. And gelato is really very, very good. I really enjoy that Italian ice. It's so good. But I must, I'm sorry, I'm out of time. Ooh, I'm going to have to share the Oreo brownie recipe with you another time. This is Donna Sebo. We've run out of time. This hour just flew by. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless you. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you are. Talk with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.